Oh, that was weak. I said, and everybody said, amen. Well, I want to thank all of you. We had a drive-in movie night on this past Friday, and some of you came out. It was such a wonderful thing. So many people in the community shared how they enjoyed that, and they wanted us to do it again. And so, does anybody have a desire to coordinate a regular movie night? You can. I'm not the best movie buff. So if you'd like to coordinate movie night and find a good family-friendly movie that we can show here on our big screen outdoor and have people driving, if you're interested in coordinating that, please text me, see me, whatever. I'm looking for somebody who have a passion. So many people say, are we going to do this every Friday night? I say, well, I don't know about that. Not every Friday night, but wouldn't it be nice, especially during this pandemic, to maybe once a month have a movie night and invite the community out? How many you would enjoy that? Let me just see. Well, come on, that's a great, come on. And so, again, thank all of you. We watched the movie War Room, and so many of you say you enjoyed it, had a great time. It's so good seeing you. And so I'm glad you reset. I'm going to continue a series I've been teaching. I call it The Great Reset. Say reset. You know, reset, you know, many of you know, a lot of time when our cell phone, our computers get bogged down and it no longer works like it should and it get overloaded and too many apps are open, the best way to correct it is just to reset it. Isn't that correct? Well, I want you to know that I believe with all my heart that God has allowed this thing we call the coronavirus pandemic to bring about a worldwide reset. I believe he's trying to once again remind us and bring us back to what's really important, especially in the church. And I'm going to say it again. I believe that I'm going to say like one pastor said, this thing is too big for God not to use it. And I really believe that God is using the current crisis and pandemic to really remind us how much we need him. But I believe more importantly, to bring the church back to its original purpose and plan. And so last week we looked at the fact that, you know, the church was birthed in power. You know, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. I want you to know, God never intended you to live this Christian life devoid of the power of God. How many are grateful for the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? The Bible said we're not to be drunk with wine, which leads to excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, that need to be a continual filling, because how many know we're leaky vessels? So we need a regular outpouring or infilling or refueling, whatever you want to call it. But God wants to refill our lives so that we can live lives full of the power, full of the anointing of God, so that wherever we go, it'll be said of us, just like Jesus, wherever he went about doing good to all and healing all who oppress of the devil, for God was with him. How many know it was the Holy Spirit that anointed him? And the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus now lives in you. Isn't that exciting? Let's thank God for the Holy Spirit. Come on. Power. Say power. It's interesting. A young girl this morning, she was in prayer. She said, Pastor, tell me, what's the secret to staying full of the power, staying recharged? I said, well, baby, every day you got to plug in. Just like you got your cell phone and you plug it into the power and it recharges. I said, well, God has given us a way of recharging, and every day there's a power. And I want you to know, it's the power. So no hurricane can knock out this power. So I'm talking, and I want you to know, it's every day. The Bible says they who wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. They're going to get recharged. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles, and they're going to run and not be weary, and they're going to walk and not faint. How many of you came in here recharged this morning? I want you to know, one of the things that we come to church today is because when we come together, we also are recharged, that something happens when we gather together in his name. He's here to give us a fresh recharging of his Spirit so that we can go out and do what he's called us to do. Can I have an amen? This morning I want to look at another area that God is bringing about a reset. One of the most obvious changes that we have witnessed as a result of COVID-19 is really the closing of our church buildings. For the last 5 months, as I said, still many, if not most, church buildings are still closed. I believe that God is allowing every church building in America to be closed in order to move us back to see, listen, the church is not where I go, the church is who I am. Oh, that's weak. I say the church is not where I go, the church is who I am. Listen to me, I'm going to tell, the church, we need to once again recognize that, you know, we have a tendency. I got a call from a pastor in Lake Charles this morning while I was sitting up here, and I started to type, I'm going to call you later because I'm in church. But I said, that's incorrect. So I retyped. I said, right now we're having a worship service, and I'll get back with you. Because how many know I am the church? And how many know you can't go to church if you are the church. Can I have an amen? And so we need to get back to this. Listen, I'm reading from Acts. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Many of you know that one of my favorite books, especially in the New Testament, is the book of Acts, because I'm an action person. I love the fact that God is an action God. I love the fact that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that God is still moving? Come on, he's still working miracles. He's still healing. I want you to know that in a broken world, how many, aren't you glad that God is still in the business of restoration? He's still in the business of changing lives and healing broken lives. And so that's why, and the most exciting part is we get a part to play in it. Aren't you glad? We get a part to be in the hands and the feet of Jesus. Aren't you glad that right now there's going to be some people in the Southwest Louisiana and the Lake Charles, they're going to give thanks to God because you and I have decided to be the church. Can I have an amen? Message. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. I want you to know that during this COVID-19, have you made a fresh commitment, a fresh devotion to God, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in reading in word, to spend time in connecting with others? Because the real church is committed to being devoted to the apostles' teaching, the word of God, committed to breaking bread and to prayer. Listen, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Listen, and all the believers were together and had everything in common, and selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. I want you to know the church has always been a generous church. We're not takers, we're givers. Can I have an amen? And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. I like the way it says it in the Message Bible. Listen to what it says in verse 47 in the Message Bible. It says, and the people like what they saw. Did y'all hear that? I'm going to say that again. And the people like what they saw, and their number grew as God added to those who are being saved. I want to ask you a question before I begin this message. Do the people around you, do they see something? Do they like what they see? I want to ask you the question. Do the people in your home, do they see a difference? Do they like what they're seeing? Because I want you to know Jesus makes a difference. And I want you to know the beginning, if God, you know, so often we've relegated churches where I go, but church is who I am. And it begins in our house. Can I have an amen? It begins in our family. So this morning I want to talk about the restoration, restoring the family, or restoring us back to the house of God. Because listen, this pandemic has caused us to re-examine how we do church. We have about 226 families that make up New Wine Christian Fellowship. And traditionally, we all met together on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in a building. But I believe that God is not against buildings. God is not against gatherings. But I believe that as a result of COVID-19, we became one church meeting in 226 buildings. Wasn't that? I believe that is more effective. How many of you? And I believe the church has become so focused on going to church and what we do on Sunday that we have neglected being the church in our homes every day of the week. And I believe that one of the areas that God is resetting is he's resetting, once again, bringing the church back to the focus. The home is a microcosm of the church. You've heard me say it often. So goes the family, so goes the church. If you want to see what the health of any church, look at the health of its families. Can I have an amen? If the family broken, how many of the church going to be broken? If the family is in disunity, the church is going to be disunity. That's why, listen, if we're going to be a church that God wants it to be, it has to start in home. That's why Josh would say that for me and my house. I want you to know, we have to get back to reclaiming our homes for God, reclaiming the fact that, listen, that church is not where I go, but church is who I am. If our children don't see it work at home, I want you to know it won't work anywhere else. We got to get back to, listen, they got to see a difference. Can I have an amen? And I'm just letting you know that, listen, so I want to talk to you about three ways we can restore our homes as a center of worship, as the house that God intended. First of all, we got to realize Christianity is an invitation to join God's family. Say family. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 19, so now you Gentiles, that's speaking of us who are non-Jews, are no longer strangers or foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. I don't know about you. I'm so glad that I've been adopted into the family. Listen, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. We have been called in a family, the family of God. And how many know I have a father? And now that, guess what? I am an heir. All that Jesus has now belongs to me. If that's not a reason to shout somebody on it, come on, I want you to know, aren't you glad that you're now an heir of God and we're now the family of God? He's adopted me into his family. The Bible says that this is the agreement I will make with you, says the Lord. He says, listen, I will be a father, say a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Aren't you glad that God didn't say a slave? Aren't you glad he didn't say a servant? But he called you son. He called you daughter. I'm so glad that I am a son of God. Somebody ought to give God prayer. You are a daughter of God, and we need to thank God that we have been in our family. And so one of the things we do in our new members class, we say that the church exists to model God's family. We operate on the base of relationships and not rules. I want you to know we got to get back. Let me just tell you, we got to remember that all through the New Testament, or not all through the whole Bible, when God wanted to give a picture of what his relationship is with us, he used the analogy of a family. And so God is committed to the family. The family is the foundation. Listen, God, the Bible started with a family. And I want you to know, it started with a marriage. And how many know it's going to end with a marriage? Can I have an amen? And I want you, we need to, as never before, be committed to what God is committed to. We are invited to be a part of God's family. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I'm writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I'm delayed, you will know how you must conduct yourselves in the household of God. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. I'm going to say this clearly. How loud you shout. The devil don't care how much you jump around. If your family is like hell, I want you to, the devil is laughing at you. For too long, we've had people, they can shout in the building, but when they go home, they're living in hell. I want you to know, and as a result, the devil, let me just tell you, the devil wants to attack your family. He wants your home. He wants to break up your family. I was recently talking to a dear friend of mine, and he was frustrated with his current situation with his wife, and he was contemplating, I say, about ending his marriage. I say, you, listen, you better recognize that's the devil. I mean, the greatest way the devil can destroy everything you have is to break up your family. He'll destroy your witness. He'll destroy everything you hold dear. You got to fight. And I said, listen, it takes a fight. We got to say like Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, he said, brothers, you see the problems we're in. He said, fight for your families. Fight for your wives. Fight for your children. Fight for your sons and daughters. Look at somebody and say, you got to fight. And if we're going to be the family of God, I want you to know we got to fight. You got to realize the devil has always been the devil's strategy to break up the home. Because if he could break up families, he could break up the church. Could it be the reason why God has given us a great reset? Is because our homes have gotten so often out of order, and God said it's time to get the house in order. Could it be that God has allowed this season so that we can focus on the family? Listen, what Paul writing to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it's on your outline. Listen, Paul talking about the qualifications of those who lead God's church. Listen, we say, he must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. For if a man cannot manage his household, how can he take care of God's church? I want to say something clearly. Paul taught that spiritual leadership begins at home. I'm going to say it to y'all again. If it don't work at home, don't export it. Spiritual leadership begins at home. God is not looking for a perfect home, but I want you to know that God is expecting us to work on being a family that models what God intended it to be. I'm going to say it again. I believe the reason the church today in America has often been frowned upon and despised is because we've lost sight. We've lost sight. Our homes are broken, so our churches have become broken. Every day we open the news sometimes and we read about dysfunctionality in the church, but it's because we've allowed so much dysfunctionality in our home. And we got to realize that Christianity is an invitation to join God's family. Secondly, I want to just say this because I want to just inspire you. I believe, listen to me, I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit is designed to launch a spiritual awakening that will sweep our nation. But it will begin in our homes. I believe that the revival that's going to change our nation is going to start in individual homes. Isn't it amazing that, listen to me, right now we have millions of people who had never gone to church, but God said, you didn't go to church, but I brought church to you. And now as a result, they're tuning in. They're right now, they're watching because God is realizing that if I'm going to change our nation, I got to change its homes. Can I have an amen? We got to get our homes back in order. We got to get our families back in order. And if we'll get our homes right, how many know we'll get the nation right? Can I have an amen? I believe it has to start. So we need to believe God for an awakening in our home. The second thing I want to say, listen, the family relationship provide the best picture, and I wrote on my verse, the best picture and the best witness of Christ's love for the church. We know the example Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 5. He talked about the role. You wives, I'm just going to summarize. Say, you wives, submit to your own husband. Means to honor and respect him. Then he tells you husbands, you love your wives as Christ loved the church. It means to lay down your life for them. Love them in a sacrificial way. Be willing to die for them. And Paul goes on to conclude, when a man loves his wife like Christ loved the church, and when a woman honors and respects her husband the way the church is to honor Christ, then he says, the world sees a picture of what Christ's love is for the church. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to what he says in verse 30. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. He said, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Say Christ and the church. Listen, however, each one of us must love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must also respect his husband. The Message Bible said this way, this is a huge mystery. I don't pretend to understand it all, but listen, what is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church provides a good picture how each husband ought to treat his wife. I believe that if we'll begin to have homes where we honor and where we follow the examples of Christ, I believe the world will begin to look at us and say, that's what I want. Can I have an amen? The Bible says of the early church, they like what they saw. I want to ask you a question. When your neighbor looks at your home, when your children looks at your home, when your co-worker looks at you, do they like what they see? Are they drawn to Jesus because of what they see? Let me just say, God wants to use a family as an illustration, as a picture, and a witness of what his love is for us. Not perfect family, but listen to me. God takes brokenness and he heals that which is broken. He gives us beauty for ashes. I want you to know that he specializes in taking, Lord God, what the enemy may have meant for bad, God will turn it around and use it for our good. Could I have an amen? Listen to what he says. I want to say this clearly. Because some of you say, well, that's just talking about marriage. No, let me just tell you. Paul uses the analogy of brothers and sisters, parents and children. In other words, he's dealing with family relationships. The love we display in our families give the best picture to the world of what the love of God is like. I want all of you to hear this. Because if you mean... And you might come to church and you sing, but you're selfish and you're mean and you're inconsiderate at home. I want you to know you nullify your witness to the world. Children, how you honor and respect your parent. You can talk about Jesus all day long, but if you don't honor and respect your parent, I want you to know that you're misrepresenting Jesus. The greatest way you can represent Christ is to live a life of honor and respect to those that God has placed in your authority. I want you to know that, let me just tell you, our love, well, let me read it. Paul writing in 1 Timothy chapter 5, listen to what he said. Never speak harshly to an older man. Appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to younger men as you would your own brother. Treat the older women as you would your mother. And treat the younger women as you would with all purity as you would your own sisters. Take care of any widow who has no one else to care for. Paul taught us that the home should be a place of honor, of kindness, of concern, of mutual respect, of care, of patience with one another. I'm going to say it again. Let me just tell you, the world sees the greatest picture the world going to see of Christ is what they see reflected in our homes. Nothing nullifies our witness. That's why, let me just tell you, I want to say this with all sensitivity. Right now in America, we're living in what's called a divorce culture. Understand, God doesn't hate divorcees, but God hates divorce. In the book of Malachi, God says he hates divorce. Not why he hates, because God intended the family to be the image and the reflection of God. And when we break up and when we divorce, and I know don't get condemned. Half of our church have experienced divorce. So listen, I want you to understand, I am not hating on one, but I want you to understand, it is always the tool of the devil to break up our homes, because I want you to know that nothing destroys the witness of God in a child's heart than when parents divorce. Because if they look at you saying, you say you believe in God, but you can't love and forgive of young people, I believe in that God. And today we have a whole generation of young people who have turned their back on God, often because they have not seen an example of committed love in the home. One of the things that have made me stay with my wife through hell and high water, in the good times and the bad, is because of this reason. I know that, listen, everything I taught my children about God, if I left my wife, they would curse God and say, if you talk about, you talking about a God who's love, who forgive, who do, and you can't love your own wife, why should I believe in that God? And I want you to know that nothing has undermined the witness of the church in America today like the breakup of home and the breakup of family. That's why, listen to me, I don't care if you've been married 3 or 4 times, make this the last one. Can I have an amen? Determine that you're going to say, God, we're going to keep it together. We're going to work it out for Jesus. Can I have an amen? I know this is not popular, but it's right. And I'm telling you, if we're going to reclaim our witness, if we're going to once again show the world that there's a God who forgives, there's a God who restores, there's a God who's merciful, there's a God who blesses home, they got to see it in us, because the only Jesus that some people will see is the Jesus in you and me. Can I have an amen? And I believe that God is bringing about a reset. Say reset. God is bringing us back to say, listen, he's saying, listen, he's restoring. He's wanting to bring us back, remind us back. Listen, your life is a witness. Whenever couples come to the marriage, I remind them. I say, listen, I tell them in counseling, it's not about you. Marriage is first and foremost a testimony and a reflection of Christ in the church. Are you sure you're ready to commit to one another? Because how many know Jesus don't give up on you? How many know Jesus don't walk out on you? I don't care how many times you messed up. I don't care how many times Jesus ain't leaving you. Can I have him? He's a faithful husband. Can somebody ought to give God some praise and leave out that? Listen to me. That's a word for some of you. Some of you might be tempted to leave out. Some of you might be tempted to quit. But I want you to know, you got to tell the devil, devil, you can't have my family. You can't have my children. You can't have, let me just say, you got to fight for it. Can I have an amen? And I want to say to you young people, hear me. The world has, I apologize on behalf of the believers and behalf of the church, that we have not always given you a model. We have not always given you an example. We got a whole generation, they don't want to marry. They're afraid to marry. They don't want to have nothing to do with marriage. They don't want a family. There's something ungodly about it. There's something unnatural about it. Because God created, it is the created order of God is in the beginning. He made them male and female. And he said, listen, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. We have to recognize it's an antichrist spirit. The devil hates family. He hates a godly home. And that's why, listen to me, I believe part of this reset, God is saying, listen, if he can get the house right, he can get the church right. I want you to know, when everybody was forced to be at home, I'm telling you, you begin to find out all kinds of things. When you got to live with somebody 24/7, all of a sudden, my wife started getting on my nerves. I started getting on her nerves. All of a sudden, oh my goodness. Boy, it was a test of our faith. Anybody been tested through this COVID-19? Anybody? I want you to know that nothing will test your faith. But I want you to know, listen, I tell you that because God is not looking for perfect marriages. But families reflect the fact that we're broken people. But it's the grace of God. We choose to forgive one another. Anybody beside me got an imperfect family? Anybody beside me got a family members who've messed up? The only way the world sees that God can restore is that we have to restore someone. The only way the world sees that God is a God of forgiveness, that when we can forgive one another. How can we reflect God when, this is what Jesus said, how can you say you love God who you can't see and hate your brother who you can see? How in the world? I want you to know, I can't understand how in the world you come to church and brothers and sisters these women cuss one another out. Brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be. I want you to know, we got to say, God, we need a reset. Come on, God. We need a divine reset. We need God so that, God, that our homes begin to reflect your kingdom. And I believe that as never before, God is bringing about a reset. He's wanting to restore our family. And so I want to ask you a question before I move. What kind of picture are you giving the world? Some say, well, I'm single. Well, listen, I don't care. You know, some people want to avoid relationship because relationships are hard work. I'm going to say it clearly. Relationships are hard work. Anybody discover relationships are hard work? Anybody discover it's a 24/7? You got to work at it. And some people would rather be by themselves so you can stay selfish and do your own thing. You don't have to account for nobody. You don't have to share with nobody. But I want you to know, listen to, oh, yeah. I'm preaching it. We're living in a selfish, self-centered generation. It's all about me. I got to do me. I don't want nobody to interfere with my life. I just let me do me. I want you to know that's the devil. Ain't nowhere in the Bible talking about you do me. No, the Bible says if any man come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross and he must follow me. Let me just tell you, you know what? Marriage is a dying to self life. You know what? You can't stay married and not die to your selfishness, not die to your pride, not die to your independence. What almost destroyed my marriage is because I tried to stay married and do me. I got married and I said, well, listen, I'm going to bring home the paycheck. I'm going to pay the bills. But listen, I'm going to play ball when I want to play ball. I'm going to go with my friends when I want to go. And that's just how I'm going to do. And after a few years, my wife said, well, listen, if that's what you're going to do, then I'm out of here. And I realized that doing me was about to cause me to lose my marriage and lose my family. And I had to say, God, I got to deny myself. The hardest thing in the world. Marriage is hard work. I'm telling you. Listen to me. When I had to die to self. Let me just say. First of all, being a Christian. We've lied to people. Being a Christian is a call to the cross. Jesus said, if any man come after me, he got to deny himself. We've told people about a Christianity. Come to Jesus and he'll give you this. Come to Jesus and he'll do all this. No, Jesus said, we've told people a lie. Real Christianity is a call to the cross. It's a call to lay down your life. And if you're not laying down your life, it's a call to prefer one another. It's a call to honor one another. How am I preferring people? Listen, you don't have to be married to prefer one another. You don't have to be married to not be selfish. I want you to know, being a family is a call to laying down your life. You can't be in a family. You can't get along as brothers and sisters holding on to your selfishness. Nothing will sabotage relationships like you and I holding on to selfishness. And the reason why we have so many broken relationships is because people want to hold on to their right. But the beginning of Christianity is God, is Jesus saying, you got to die to your way. You got to die to your way of living. You got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross. But let me just tell you, here's the glory. There is no resurrection without a crucifixion. I want you to know, if you'll die, Jesus will bring about resurrection life. I want you to know, I could never imagine what God had in store. When I died, oh, I want you to know, Jesus began to live in me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I want you to know, in the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. I want you to know, if you want the glorious life that God has for you, you got to die. Can I have an amen? We don't have too many people shouting, but that's all right. I'm closing with this last point. Hear me. God is bringing about a reset, and this is the last one I want you to understand. We must make the discipling, say discipling. The word discipling just means the training, the educating of our families, our first and highest priority. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Listen to what Jesus. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And surely this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me read a few of these verses out of the Message Bible. He says, go and train everyone you meet, make and near into this way of life. Say it's a way of life. Making them, listen, marking them by baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practices of all I've commanded you. And I'll be with you as you do this day after day, right up to the end of the age. I like the way that is. Because you see, real disciples, you hear what I'm talking about. I believe there's a reason God shut down every school in America. Shut down every school all over the world. You know why? Because he wanted to remind it ain't the school's job to educate them, it's yours. I didn't get too many amens. See, we have relegated the responsibility of training and educating and discipling our children to the school system, to the church, to the youth group, to the children's ministry. But God said, it's your job. Look at somebody and say, it's your job. And I want you to know, if your children grow up and they don't serve the Lord, then you got to take a good look at yourself. Can I have an amen? It's your job to disciple them. It's your job to train them. It's your job to teach them the Word of God. We got to get back. We got all. Let me just tell you, don't get offended at me, because I've told people all the time, listen, if you serve a casual Jesus, if your Jesus allows you to miss church every day except one time a month, and but you can get involved in every extracurricular, that's the kind of Jesus your children are going to serve. I got people who are angry because I told them. I said, listen, you got to make a decision. The world is always trying to suck them in. The world is always trying to grasp their attention. The world is always trying. You can't. Let me just say, if you run after every fad, we got them in something every day. Listen to me. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to love one and be devoted to the other, you're going to love one and despise the other. You cannot serve the world and Jesus. I'm not saying our children can't be involved in sports and activities, but you got to determine what's going to be the most important thing in their lives. I'm telling you, hear me carefully. You got to determine that it's going to either be Jesus or it's going to be football or volleyball or basketball, because we live in a world that was a time where America largely reflected Christian values, and they honored the fact that there was a day that we should set aside to work. You get them involved in things, they're going to involve kids every day of the week, especially on Sunday. And at some point, we got to make a decision. Is a relationship with God more important, or them getting us a scholarship, or them being involved in this is more important? And I'm telling you, I know parents have argued with me or hated me for saying this, but I'm telling you, the reason why we've lost so many of our children is because we've let the world disciple them rather than we disciple them. We got to stand flat-footed, and we got to tell the devil, listen, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There has to be a standard. There has to be an honor. And I'm telling you, the devil's going to fight you tooth and nail. It's not popular, but I'm telling you, the reason why we have a generation who walked away from God, because we taught them that Jesus don't call, you know, you can do anything. You can spend all your life in this. It don't matter. As long as you give Jesus, you know, that 1 hour out of the 168 hours, just that 1 hour of the week, but you can do your own thing the rest of the week. The devil is a liar. Let me just tell you, Jesus is a 24/7 Monday through Friday commitment. It's every day with Jesus. I want you to know, he wants every part of our lives. He wants to be Lord of all. Paul writing Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. Did you hear that? Fathers, the message about don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them, but take them by the hand. Lead them in the way of the master. I'm going to say it again. We must once again take the responsibility of being the teachers, the shepherds, the leaders of our family. If you're a single parent, I want you to know God gives us a promise. We see the example. We don't know where Timothy's father was, but what we do know about Timothy, we know that his father was obviously not a believer. But to every mother who's trying to raise children, listen what the Bible tells us. There's a young man in the Bible who became an apostle. His name was Timothy. And I want you to know that. Listen what Paul writing in 2 Timothy. He said, Timothy, I didn't put it on you on the screen, but it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul said, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. All you Bible scholars, tell me where it's at. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Come on, y'all know your Bible. Kenny, where it's at? I'm just seeing if you... 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Listen what he goes on to say. Verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Profitable for all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen to me. I want to say this in closing. I now have grandchildren. Son-in-law, where you at? Right there. I'm going to speak to you. Hear me. God has given you the responsibility. Thank God for all you do. But your first responsibility is make disciples of your own children, to teach them, to train them, to instruct them. If they know more about Beyonce, if they know more about what's all the artists? I don't even know some of these artists. Huh? TikTok. Hear me. They're not helping them out because they don't want to expose themselves. What's this lady? They know about Cardi. Ask them, do they know who Cardi B is? They know Cardi B. But ask them, do they know how many scriptures, how many verses in the Bible do they know? I've seen it. I see on Facebook. You got little kids, 5 years old. They're singing these songs. They're twerking. They're doing. I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about believers. Oh, you think it's cute because they can memorize this rap. They can sue all of this. But do they know Jesus? Do they know the scriptures? I'm telling you, listen to me. We got parents who will invest $200 in a tennis shoe, but they won't buy a $25 Bible. I'm talking about, listen to me, they won't spend time. And I'm telling you, if we're gonna restore the family, God is bringing about a reset. Say somebody look at God, say it's time for a reset. We could pursue all kinds of things. But we got a whole generation. And I'm talking about, listen, we got to take Lester Sumrall. I admire him as a man of God. He wrote a book called My Three Sons. And he was telling the story at a meeting in Baton Rouge. He said he was speaking to us. And he looked us in his eyes. He said, let me just tell you. If you claim to know the God of the Bible, and you claim to serve him, and you love him with all your heart, but your children all grow up and they don't have nothing to do good with God, then you better take an honest look at yourself. because we have been taught in the world that's the way it's supposed to be, where they're supposed to go the way of the world. The devil is a liar. God says we to reproduce after our own kind. The Bible says we to make disciples of all nations. It's our responsibility. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the devil gonna fight for your children. He fought for every one of my children. The devil, let me just tell you, it's a fight, because you're gonna tell him right, and the devil, he knows that the quickest way to undermine your testimony is to get your children to rebel against God. I'm talking something I'm living. Listen to me. But you got to be on your knees flat. We don't win by fighting with fists. We win by fighting on our knees. We got to fight that devil. You got to tell the devil, you can't have my family. You can't have my children. You can't. I'm telling you, when my children, let me just say, all of them, or at least three of them, all rebelled against God at some point in their lives. That came an age, I couldn't whip them. Whipping them wasn't the answer. Fighting with them wasn't the answer. I'm old school. You know, my dad said, I brought you into this world. Boy, I'll take you out. You can say that all you want, but I want you to know that ain't going to convert them. My wife and I got exasperated one time with our children as I closed. We were frustrated. God, everything we taught them, they're doing the complete opposite. Nothing breaks the heart of a child like a child who rebel against everything they've been taught. And I'm telling you, we were like, God, we don't know what else to do. You know, sometimes you want to throw your hands up, but I want to tell you, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to rise up. No, we're gonna win this battle on our knees. My wife and I begin to fast and pray. I want you to know, listen to me, family. I'm telling you, God will honor his word. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. I want you to know, God, the Bible says the believing parent will sanctify, set apart the believing child. God has given us promises in his word. Don't believe every lie. You got to believe the word. And I'm telling you, we got on our knees and we began to pray every day. God, you know what? We didn't pray the problem. We began to pray the promise. God, you said in your word that, Lord, you would deliver them. God, you said in your word that Lord, if they rebel against you, you'd visit them with the rod of correction. I want you to know, listen to me, God know how to whip them. God know how to get their attention. And I can tell you that, listen, as we prayed, as we cried out to God, oh, I want you to know, they can run from me, they can hide from me, but they can't hide from the Holy Ghost. And you got to stand fat-footed, and you got to look the devil and say, you're not going to steal my children. You're not going to steal my family. I break your hold. And we begin to pray and fast. And I want you to know, we begin to see everything they begin to touch begin to no longer work out. Everything they begin to do begin to fail. Oh, listen, all of a sudden, because, you know, God know how to get their attention. Sometimes when we see our children hurting, sometimes we want to rush in. No, let God deal with them. Come on, God. God, bring them to repentance. Whip them, God. You know what to do. And I'm telling you, God got their attention. And he had to come and say, Daddy, I repent. I've sinned against you and Mom. Will you forgive us? I want you to know there's nothing. And see, that's why the world, we're not going to have perfect families. But that's when we got to be like the prodigal, like the father of the prodigal child. When they come back, when they repent, we got to be ready to wrap arms of love and say, listen to me, just like God forgave you, he'll forgive them. Aren't you glad he's a forgiving God? He's a restoring God. He's a healing God. Oh, yes, he will. If this message for you and you want God to reset your family, just stand on your feet all over this place. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whatever, I believe all of us say, God, I want to reset. God, I want to see you do what you want to. Listen, I don't care what it look like. I don't care. They might be in a crack house. God know God, the Holy Spirit can go in the crack house. They might be in an immoral relationship. God know how to break up an immoral relationship. Don't tell me what God won't do. Oh, yes, he does. He know how to get their attention. God is once again wants to listen to me. the greatest witness we have as a church. The church has moved out of the building into our home. Our greatest witness is what we model and what we live in the home. I'm telling you, none of us have, there's no perfect family. If you got a perfect family, you're lying. Ain't no perfect family. We all sinners saved by the grace of God. All of us broken people needing to be restored. All of us sinners needing to be forgiven. Our children all are born in sin, and they got to get saved, every one of them. And so when we understand that, then we can realize that God, that's his will. He wants to restore. The answer to America's healing is the healing of our home. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I pray right now. From now on, I'm going to say to all of you, when I'm preaching, I want you all in the house. I want to know that you are willing to hear the word and receive the word. Hear me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that, God, that you would start with us. Lord, you know the thing. You're looking at our nation. Our nation is divided. Our nation is broken. Our nation is torn. But God, you said if we return to you, though you tore us, you will heal us. God, our nation is wounded. But God, you said if we return to you, you say, God, though you've wounded us, you will bind up our wounds. God, we need you to do what only you can do. And so, Lord, every one of us, the church here at New Wine, which represented by 226 households, every household is a part of the body of Christ. Every household is a microcosm, a part of the church of the living Jesus, of the church of God. Father, start in our homes. Make our homes right. I pray, God, give us hearts of compassion. Give us hearts of love. Let us do what Ephesians say. Let us be kind. Let us be tenderhearted. Let us forgive one another, even as Christ forgiven us. Father, I pray you begin to help husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. That they will humble themselves. That God, that they will build up their wives. That they will encourage their wives. That they will lay down their lives for their wives. That they will stop making excuses why they can't be the husband, because the Holy Spirit lives in them. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Father, I pray for every wife that you'll give them the grace to honor, respect, build up their husbands and not tear them down. To be that Christ-like wife. Father, I pray for every child, every son, every daughter, that we will honor our parents. You said honor them that it might be well with us, that our days might be long. We bind the spirit of rebellion. We bind the spirit of Antichrist. We pray, Father, for a spirit of honor and respect in our home. Father, I pray for brothers and sisters that, Lord, that they will forgive one another. They'll be patient with one another. They'll be kind to one another. Lord, I pray that you'll give us grace to live out our faith in the homes where we live, so that the world might see our good works and glorify you. I pray for that person right now. I said at the beginning, Christianity is a call to die. Die to yourself. Die to your will. Die to your way. If you're here today, if you're watching by social media, and you've never died to yourself, but today the Holy Spirit is tugging and pulling at your heart. No one comes to God unless the Spirit draws. If you're here today and you say, God, that's me today. I want to surrender. I want to die to my way. I want to embrace your way. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Those of you that's watching, if that's you, is anybody, you say, today I want to come to the cross. I want to die to my way. That's you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for those who are watching. I pray for those who are here. Jesus, we thank you that you came to give us life, and that more abundantly. You said if we will surrender ourselves, if we will deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you, we would be your disciple. Lord Jesus, if you want to make that decision, just say this to me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I deny myself. I take up my cross. No longer my will, but your will be done. Today, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Amen.